one, side one, and this is tape one, side two, and we are still at Barry Paris's house on the 18th of June. And Barry was telling us about how he started, how he wrote how he had Tony Curtis dictate his autobiography, and Barry Paris wrote it. Tell us, please.
Right, and the question was how it got started, and the answer was that it was wonderful for me because I never lifted a finger, and I had never really, my agent, who was with the William Morris Agency, called me one day and said that Tony Curtis was looking for a writer to help him do his autobiography, because Tony has the same agency, William Morris, and that's how the deal got put together. The two agents within the same, it was an inter-agency deal, and he said, would you like to do Tony's autobiography? And I said, wow, I've always liked Tony Curtis, but I had never thought about writing a book about him. I don't do autobiographies, I do biographies, and I'm certainly not a ghostwriter. I would never do anything for anybody that didn't have my name on it. And so he said, well, yeah, you just, but would you think about it? I said, well, sure. I thought, like, would you meet him? He wants to meet you. He liked Louise Brooks, my other book. I said, sure, and Tony Curtis wants to meet me, I'll be there. So I went out, and the first thing, he met me at the hotel, and we shook hands, and I said, I had no prepared speech, and I said, oh, Mr. Paris, I've always wanted to meet you. When I was 10 years old, my friend Paul Zimmerman and I in Pittsburgh went up to the Eastwood Theater, and we saw the Vikings 3 times in 2 days, and I wanted to be Tony Curtis. And he said, yeah, so did I. Which I thought was a wonderful remark, and important because he's really Bernie Schwartz, as we would find out in the course of the next 80 hours of interviews. I said, of course I'll do the book. Everybody said, don't work with him, he's a monster, you'll hate him. And it was just the opposite. I found him charming and wonderful and polite and a gentleman and the foulest language in the world, but the greatest story, and we had a good time. So then the jump to the visit to Pittsburgh, which was in connection with an art exhibit that he had in Toledo at the Butler Institute, because he's also a fine kind of impressionistic Matisse sort of artist. He said, we had to fly into Pittsburgh anyway, he said, I want to come and see your house and see where you write. I want to see where you write. I said, sure, please, come, we want you to come. Myrna wants to meet you. He did come, and as I mentioned, we had Sophie Maslow over here and a couple of friends. And when he finally did come up to see the room where I write, he said, great room. But this wall is very bare. You need something on this wall. And so I picked up a magic marker that was lying there and handed it to him and said, well, you do it. So he spent about 50, it's a 20-minute mural. It's a sketch, which you'll see.
What's that?
It's a sort of a still life. Oh, I should describe it because we won't take the recorder. It is a, again, a sort of a Matisse-like scene that's now very faded of a window, a cat, a fishbowl, a glass of wine. Favorite theme of his, all those things.
Since you are such a wonderful mimic, you also played a telephone message that you received just a few days ago. And I don't think you have to play it because you are... such
I can
a mimic.
Pretend to be.
You can pretend
and
to be.
And I told you Jamie's one. Anyway, yes, he says, he calls up and says, Barry, this is your Tony. When you have, how's the family? Hope everybody's all right. When you have an opportunity, call me. It's a new language I've invented called Smirnoff.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
So did I tell you what you need to know about the book? An inter-office deal, I didn't do anything. Oh, the final thing on the arrangements for the book, though, which I'm very happy about, is that I said to the Tony was wonderful, but his agent, typically, and my agent for that matter, are not so wonderful. And I said, after I met him, we hit it off, I love the guy, I'd be happy to do it, but it's not going to be ghostwritten, and it's not going to be a with. I'm not going to be the autobiography of Tony Curtis with Barry Perry, which is typically what they do. I said, it's got to be an and. I'm an and, or I'm not doing it. You can't do that. You have to do it. And this went on back and forth. Yeah, equal type. Oh, no. And finally, the deal was like on the verge of falling through, and I said, you know, why don't you call Tony and ask him? And he did, and Tony said, fine with me.
And that was it.
So I am an and you'll notice that the it's an equal, about an equal size on the book. Not in the American version, a little smaller. But anyway, it was not an ego trip. It's a professional thing. It has to be that, or it's demeaning, or it means that you're just, you know, a ghoster. Everything in this book, we did one wonderful thing that I'll brag about that's important structurally and literarily, which is that I'm not going to invent any Tony Curtis words. Every word in this book that claims to be said by him will be said by him, except an occasional phrase here and there for transition. But I have a lot of things to say, too, because I'm a film historian and a writer, and when I say those things, they will be identified as being said by me. So they are in a little different type, and they're indented a bit, and they have signed BP at the end. You'll see when you look through the book. And then I have a Jack Lemmon in here for a page on Some Like It Hot. He's identified. Jamie is there for two pages. So it's a new attempt to create a new form of autobiography. Tony is, the bulk of it is Tony, but anytime I say something, I talk about the movies, it's said by me. So I don't pretend to put film historical words in his mouth. And what you read of Tony's is by Tony, and nobody goes through it.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that explained in the book?
Yes, in the beginning. You'll find that explained more succinctly in the introduction.
I think that has to be.
It's very important. It's very important.
Well, it's funny. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. I had no idea that Alex Haley wrote it.
Yeah. Now, see, that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know. We didn't know that.
Well, most, you know, there are very few movie people that write their own books. Very few. But, including Tony, because he's not a writer. But he's a hell of a speaker and a talker and a very articulate and extremely intelligent, not highly educated. But he is just, you know, you'll see when you read it that he's a remarkable person. He just needed somebody to clean it up a little and put it in English.
All right, what would you say?
I would say that they're homeless.
Yeah.
End of tape one.